This podcast is brought to you by fin24.com.
Welcome to Metalheads. My name is David Mackay, and we're going to be talking about gold stocks and the gold price. Again, gold hitting new record levels. Let's go straight to Wayne McCary. Now, Wayne is with RMB Asset Management. And Wayne, I put you well. Let's just start with a couple of figures here, which will no doubt interest you, and you're no doubt aware of them. The gold price over the last year, up 31%. Let's have a look at the US gold index, or the US shares, up 49%. The Australians, up 43%. Where do you think the South Africans are?
African gold shares are probably negative.
They're not negative, but they're 7%.
Yeah.
The statement from an outfit called Research Capital Research says that the Australian gold shares have performed very strongly over the last 12 months, and particularly in the last 3 months, while the South Africans have been shocking. At some point, if the dollar gold price keeps heading north, our gold index has got to respond. What's your view on that?
Well, we need an increase in the rand price of gold, not the dollar price of gold. Unfortunately, a lot of the increase in the dollar price has just been negated by the rand being very strong. So although the dollar price is at record highs, I don't think the rand price is at record highs anymore. So that's the one factor, is we've got to get a little bit of a weaker rand thrown into the pot for our gold shares to perform nicely. The second point is, you know, we've got such deep level mines here, it is massively expensive to mine gold in South Africa. I mean, just another statistic for you, 10 years ago, the gold price was one quarter in rands. The gold price was one quarter of what it is now, and yet the mines were paying five times more dividends 10 years ago than what they're paying now. So it just shows you what costs have done in rands and how that's dented their performance, unfortunately. So overseas gold mines, they haven't got costs in rands. They don't nearly go as deep as what our gold mines do. I can understand their performance because that's tied in with the dollar price of gold. So if you liked gold and you bought physical gold, you've done well, but if you bought gold shares, you haven't done well.
It's just a massive statement as to where our industry is, isn't it? I mean, it's over a century old. We know that mining assets are wasting assets. It just turns on the rand. But if the rand stays the same, South African gold sector X growth, or is that a bit of a sweeping statement?
It's not that sweeping a statement. It by and large is, actually. I mean, just roughly speaking, at the current rand price of gold, the gold mines are marginally positive. In other words, they're making small profits. But they have got to have a between 12 and 14% compound return in rands forever just to stay profitable. That's how the costs are escalating when you mine this deep. And I think for SA gold shares, that's a very, very big ask, to have a perpetual 14% rise in the rand price of gold just to break even. I think that's too difficult to ask.
Wayne, where are the pockets of value there? There must be a couple of stocks. Maybe it's in our junior sector, our gold junior sector.
I don't really look at the junior mines. We prefer, of all the gold mines, we as a house prefer Harmony. And of course, I mean, the gold companies aren't stupid. I mean, they obviously realize this. And a lot of them are trying to find low-cost gold deposits outside of South Africa. And I mean, all the gold mines, all of our three major miners are trying to do that. And our success they are in doing that will ultimately determine what their share price does, because unless we get a sustained material increase in the rand price of gold, their SA assets are wasting assets, no matter how much consolidation they try and do, no matter how much they try and cut costs. But unfortunately, the same factors that will weaken the rand will probably weaken the gold price dollar terms. So, you know, so they just caught in this massive cost pressure situation for their South African mines.
A lot of our listeners are general investors who are just looking for opportunities. What would you be telling them about the gold sector? Would you be saying this is a professional trader's territory? Stay the hell away.
Look, gold shares are a trader's territory. I'm very, very positive on both the rand and the dollar price of gold over the 3 to 5 term, because I think inflation is going to come back not only in South Africa but in the whole world over a 3 to 5 year basis. But on the shorter term, let's say 1 year, I think the gold price has run far too hard. You know, in theory, gold should run if there's inflation, which there's clearly not, or if there's panic in the system. Now, the panic there is still risk out there, but the panic levels have significantly receded over the last 3 or 4 months, and yet the gold price is running. And I just don't understand that. that I'm a little bit worried about the gold price in the shorter term.
Okay. Well, Wayne McCurry from RMB Asset Management, thanks for joining us on Metal Hits. One of South Africa's gold juniors that is cutting a bit of a swathe is Great Basin Gold. And we've got the CEO and president of that company, Ferdi Dipenaar, formerly of Harmony Gold, which was an extremely successful company for many, many years. Brendan, over to you.
Ferdi, two or three weeks ago, RBC Capital Markets put out a gold review, and they selected Great Basin Gold as their top gold pick. And your share price went up within, I think it jumped within two or three days. That must have given you quite a nice feeling, a recognition of what you're trying to do there.
It did, Brendan. But bear in mind, they moved us up on their list of the top picks, which was quite pleasant as well, after our quarterlies, which showed progress more specifically at Burnstone. And quite surprisingly, one of the major items that featured high on investors' lists of concerns was having to run a mine without electricity. You were at the Denver conference as well, and we did, I think, 10 one-on-one meetings per day. And it is still scary that electricity in South Africa features in every meeting.
Right.
And that's despite the fact that South Africa last had rolling blackouts nearly 2.5 years ago. So it was probably the RBC report. Yes, that assisted quite significantly. But I do think it was dealing with things like electricity, the fact that the shaft was so close to completion, and also the mill. So maybe a combination. So I'm not complaining. Let's put it that way, Brendan.
No, I mean, it was a good news development. You mentioned Denver, and I was going to raise that with you. One of the concerns that I picked up at Denver is this whole issue of a South African gold stock versus international gold stock. And so if you look at the ratings and the performance, African gold stocks are being penalized for a number of reasons. You mentioned one, the concern of electricity. The other one is the ongoing debate on nationalization. The guys in Denver, I mean, how do they view Great Basin Gold? Are you a South African stock, or are you somewhere in between, given your interest in Nevada?
A bit of somewhere in between. I think what we do get is we probably get a slightly better rating for our South African ounces compared to the other producers. And because it's a new mine, it's shallow. The feedback on a high level of mechanization is quite positive. The feedback on our approach to safety, is, you know, that even is well received or is seen in a better light. So, you know, I just think if one looks at our South African ounces, the risk profile of those ounces are probably slightly lower than what you would traditionally mine deep level South African underground mining. And then on the other side in Nevada, both Hollister and Esmeralda, I think people are starting to see the production, the mill's up and running. Yeah, so we probably a bit of both right now, which counts in our favor.
Sure. And Ferdi, what kind of feedback were you getting on the nationalization debate, which a number of people indicated to me they're not happy with, because it's gone from being a sort of benign, well, let's have this debate because it's, you know, a healthy democracy. Now it's on an official political agenda to be dealt with in 2012. And a number of fund managers I spoke to were not happy about that.
There's no doubt that they're not happy. The fact that, yeah, people can buy and sell shares within a day and take profit or their losses depending on the stock price movement. You know, so they do have a shorter time frame investment. But I think you're right. It's the fact that the nature of the discussion has changed, the fact that it's now become an official agenda item. It means that investors can wake up tomorrow morning and the rules of the game have changed. And that does scare them. I must say I was extremely disappointed the fact that it has now been raised to that level. And government is continuously saying that it will not happen. It's not on the agenda. Even the unions, their feedback this week. But I still got a mail last night, which I had to address from an investor, which said that it still worries them.
Yeah.
You know, people love certainty, especially when they use money in today's environment, today's economic environment, where money is scarce, cash flow is scarce, and he has to make an investment and he has to choose. Why choose South Africa if there is this uncertainty?
Sure. Ferdi, could you give us a brief update on state of play at Burnstone? Is everything running to schedule for you guys?
Yeah, we put out a press release today. We said we'd start the mill at the end of September, or the plant, as we call it in South Africa. We did. It started with the commissioning of the conveyor belts, then the crusher. I mean, it is a very sequential thing. So the crusher was commissioned by yesterday. The silo is being filled. So as soon as we have sufficient ore in the silo, it then starts reporting to the mill. So it's all in hand right now. Our problems, fortunately, have been small startup problems, so nothing major. It's an exciting time, I must tell you. It's one of those that you want to. It's a phase of the development of the mine you've been looking forward to for quite a while, but you go into it with a high level of, I don't want to even call it anticipation, but hope that all goes well, because this is a critical phase. If the mill runs well, you know, we cold commissioned a number of the sections of the mill, but ultimately the final test is putting ore through it and actually seeing that the gold does make it to the other side.
Right.
So, yeah, some really, really interesting stuff happening.
So when is the magic day on which you would pour your first gold bar?
We're saying before the end of October,
okay.
And all we're doing is, theoretically speaking, it should be around about the third week. But that also does assume all goes well and there's no hiccups. So let's allow ourselves a bit of flexibility, and hopefully the hiccups are small. And we do get there because, yeah, as you say, that's the big day. That's the final day. That's the final proof that what we've got on site is actually a fully operational unit.
Well, let's hope it continues to go well, because, you know, your success is going to rub off on the entire gold industry in South Africa. One last question, Ferdy. Developments at Hollister in Nevada, I mean, when do you see something major happening there? And does your focus swing there now that you've got Burnstone almost home and dry?
No, absolutely not, Brendan. Hollister is an interesting one. We've got our own mill, but what it does do, our own mill, is limit the growth.
Yeah.
At Hollister. Hollister is just such a spectacular piece of real estate. We believe let's put it this way, in terms of our amended plan of operations, we asked for an operation twice the size we currently handling or managing, and double the life of mine. And we've made three additional discoveries in the last 3 years. It all shows that Hollister should be a larger mine if we have the mill capacity. And my thinking is that the logical mill capacity lies next door with the Midas mine.
Mm-hmm.
And in some way, it has been an ongoing affair. But I do think at some stage the logic of us either owning that mill or that property, or combining the two to get the full range or benefits or synergies from that, it must start featuring high on the list of everybody that is involved. So we keep on chipping away at it. We haven't given up, and who knows, as they say, the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Ferdy, thanks very much for that update.
So, Brendan, what do you think of that? Is that a share you'd buy?
I must say, I tend to sympathize with Wayne McCurry's point of view, which is that our gold mines have been killed by the rand. And if you look at the share prices over the last, they've been trapped in a trading range for the last 3 years. And we're getting drilled from both sides here. You know, the strong rand is holding down the rand revenue to the mines. And at the same time, you're getting these short-term carry trade flows into the country, which are strengthening the rand. Why? Because you can get a decent return here, and you get 5-6% return here in a situation where there's like 0.25%, you know, interest offered in America. And one of the messages I got in Denver was that, you know, investors are desperate for a return. They will take risk. And so they will take the risk of coming into South Africa on a short-term basis to get these attractive interest rates. So and that's killing our mines. It's killing our mining industry. I must admit, I've turned rather negative on South African gold shares at the moment. I mean, Birdie's mine was, as I pointed out, chosen by RBC Capital Markets as a top pick. It probably is, but I'm not happy about SA Gold's at the moment.
Well, let's leave it there, Brendan Ryan from Mining Max. Thank you very much, and thank you for joining us on Metalheads. My name is David McKay. Until next week, goodbye.